We're going through this series at the table. And I got a question for you. Have you ever prepared a big meal? It's a huge celebration, something that you have to send out invites to. You're like, I want you here at this because it's going to be an event. I'm gonna smoke that brisket. It's going to take 16 hours. You know, we're going to have all the fixings. Everything is going to be there. And then you send out the invitations. They say they intend to be there, and then they stand you up. Yeah. Oh. And listen, I like having leftovers in the house, so don't get me wrong. But when we put a lot of effort into it and when we value it as something that is highly important, it can be so deflating, and it feels like that there's something lost in that relationship when that happens, isn't there? You know, it was years ago, but I planned this board retreat in Waterloo, and that board, it needed to unify. So I valued the importance of doing that retreat. And so we booked this hotel in Custer, South Dakota, and we needed that trip. I really believe for the future of the church, we needed that trip. And they were all on board until 2 weeks before the retreat. And slowly, one by one, they started dropping out. And I remember I was just frustrated, and I ended up canceling the trip. And honestly, Wendy and I should have still went. We're like, well, we're going to go enjoy ourselves. But it can be so deflating when you value something so much and they don't see the same value that you do. And as we turn into our text today, the story Jesus is going to share, he's in the middle of a big dinner. He was invited to the head of the Pharisees, or one of the leaders of the Pharisees. And I'm just going to summarize how this is setting up before he shares this story. It's in Luke chapter 14. He's basically eating with people that he often had to kind of wrestle against when he was out in public. And he challenged the way constantly that they displayed God and the way that they related to people. And so this wasn't necessarily a dinner of celebration. It was a bit of a dinner of contention. Have you ever been a part of one of those? Yeah, that's fun. So in this discussion as they're at the dinner table, Jesus challenged them with their practice of the Sabbath. Jesus spoke to them about their lack of humility and not seeking to exalt themselves. And he used this great example about the greatest of those on earth will be the least of those in eternity. He talks about there's the haves and have-nots here on earth and how that's flipped once we get into heaven. And so he further encourages them to be conscious about who you host for luncheons or banquets. And he finished that discussion stating in verses 13 and 14, he said, instead, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Then at the resurrection of the righteous, God will reward you for inviting those who could not repay you. Almost every parable that Jesus ever told was conveyed to compare that story to the kingdom of God. So as Jesus was sharing these teachings, someone said something that sparked a story out of him, and that's where we're going to read this morning, Luke chapter 14, starting at verse 15, all the way through verse 24. Let's read. Hearing this, a man sitting at the table with Jesus exclaimed, "What a blessing it will be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied with this story. A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invites. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servant to tell the guests, "Come, the banquet is ready." But they all began making excuses. One said, "I have just bought a field and must inspect it. Please excuse me." Another said, "I have just bought 5 pairs of oxen and I want to try them out. Please excuse me." Another said, "I just got married, so I can't come." The servant returned and told his master what they had said. His master was furious and said, "Go quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." After the servant had done this, he reported, "There is still room for more." So his master said, "Go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be full. For none of those I first invited will get even the smallest taste of my banquet." I want to pray. Lord, sometimes we read a story and we just take it at face value. And Lord, sometimes your word needs interpreted. We need to know what you're really saying. And so, God, I pray that for each and everyone here, we can walk away with a knowledge and understanding of who you're speaking to, what you are asking out of us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. It seems like everyone I came into contact with this week had a little bit of a cold going on. Thanks. You know what's that time of year, isn't it? As I read this story, there are four groups of people impacted by this story. And we're going to talk about those four groups this morning. We're going to rifle through these because I want to just drive home the main point today. First, we see the man. And he's preparing this big, elaborate banquet. It's ceremonious. It's one of those things that you do not want to miss. And so there's a lot of prep work and the details, usually on who's invited, but also the food. And you can only imagine what the place settings might look like. This is not the type of banquet that has bar-ass hot dogs, okay? Pastor Morris, they're not serving potato soup. This is going to be several courses. There's going to be a salad. There's going to be an appetizer. It's going to be a prime cut of meat, greens, and potatoes. Then the best part, the dessert. In a big celebration, it often comes at this huge expense. Now, one of the reasons I like cruising is the main dining room. And I don't know if you've ever been on a cruise, but it has so many things going for it. It has the decor, and I'll be honest, the food's okay. Some nights it's really good, but some nights it's just okay. But the service is absolutely amazing. And this last cruise we went on, it was top-notch. After the first night, and we had a table of 10, the servers knew everyone's names, knew their preferences, what they wanted to drink, and they never wrote it down. They just knew. And so as the week went on, they really got to understand and know us. I remember there was a second prime rib night. And that night, I remember, I get this prime rib set in front of me, and it's just not that big. And Courtney got this prime rib that's like this thick, this wide. And I remember going, oh, man. And I ate my prime rib in like two bites. And I'm just like, well, it is what it is. I'll just move on. Our servers noticed, and next thing I know, out comes a second plate with the biggest piece of prime rib I'd ever seen, and I'm like, holy cow, now that's service, right? And I just got excited, and I was so thankful, and I'm like, this needs to be celebrated, and I ate myself sick. But if you've ever been to any kind of banquet or any kind of special dining celebration, when you prepare for this extravagant meal, and that's what it's intended to be, and you're the host, you're the one serving, you want people to come, you want people to be grateful, you want people to enjoy it. It should be the pinnacle of their life. It should be something special. And it's clear that as we read this story, that those who are initially invited, even though they don't show up, that eventually the host decides, well, then everyone's invited. Anyone who accepts my invitation is invited. And so this invite that we read by this man that is hosting this dinner, it's open-ended. But as with every celebration, you really want commitments. You want people to show up. You want all the food to get ate. And so something that's important in this story is to recognize that this is a celebration you don't want to miss. And as I said, every parable that Jesus ever told, it's an allegory for the kingdom of God, and it's clear that the man in our story is God, and the entrance into his kingdom is celebrated by this great feast. In John chapter 14, verses 2 through 3, Jesus says, "There's more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am." I read this story, and this is all being prepared for us. And what I find is that when God prepares his best for us, he doesn't do it in half measures. God doesn't do things halfway. And so when he's sharing this story, he's basically saying that what God has prepared for you is something you do not want to miss. Now, it's interesting to it's interesting to look into the story and see who it is that's initially invited. And then there's the rest. There's everyone else. As you study the Word of God, you find that the Jewish people are God's chosen people. It's clear that God wants them to be a part of what he's prepared for them. In fact, in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. The Jew first, and also the Gentile." Now, the Gentile is everyone outside of the Hebrew people. So the Gentile is you and I. We're Gentiles. But praise God, God has not left us shut out. We have an opportunity to become a part of this great feast. Amen? But as we look at Jesus' instruction to the Pharisees in this home, it's also what God is showing is he's giving an invite to his chosen people, but it's clear that also his chosen people who choose not to receive that invitation, God's going to open the door for everyone else. The next people we look at in this story, I call the greatest, the chosen, the ones who are initially invited. And we see that they all have excuses. This is really what I want to talk about today. Do you know that our excuses, our reasonings can talk us out of anything? There are so many excuses that we can give for why we can't attend something. When at the root of it, maybe you just don't want to. One is saying, hey, I bought property. I need to go inspect it. Could that have been done at another time? Yes. Another said, hey, I just bought 5 oxen. They clearly need worked right that second. Another said, oh, I just got married. And I can be like, well, it's maybe kind of a valid excuse, but apparently there was a large honeydew list for him. Yeah. We can look at these and say, maybe they're viable excuses. We could say that. And they were polite in their excuses. They said, please, please excuse me. But they were also rejecting a generous offer. You know, I remember when I was in my 20s, and if I was invited to a party, or if I wasn't, invited to a party or something that was going on, I kind of felt left out. I always want to be going out and doing things, but now that I'm in my 40s, if I'm not invited, I'm kind of thankful, you know? But if I'm invited to a big celebration, I'm going to attend, right? If it's important to someone else, I want to make sure that I'm there for it. Because if someone takes the time to make out the invite, look up my address, send it to me, it's a clear message, I want you there. Now I'm going to be honest, because sometimes you get invites to things of people you don't know as well as others, that sometimes an excuse just kind of feels good, doesn't it? Because it justifies us all of a sudden. It makes us feel good in why we can't go. But in our story today, the response of the man is all you need to know. Because as good as their excuse might have seemed, in verse 21, it says, the servant returned and told his master what they had said. His master was furious. Church, I'm telling you, excuses are only good for the ones who make them. It doesn't satisfy the ears of those you are making them to. And if the invite is given, it's because the invitee, they want you there. And this kind of reminds me of major pro sports teams when they win championships. What tends to happen, they're invited to the White House, right? And inevitably, it doesn't matter who's in office, there's going to be some guy on one of those sports teams that says, I don't want to go because of the guy sitting in the Oval Office. when that might be their only opportunity all their life to go into the White House. Really? You're going to let that be your hang-up? But it's amazing the excuses we can make for anything big in our life. And in this allegory, if we come to the conclusion that the ones who were initially invited are Jews, to me, there's something spiritually deeper we can look at and we can apply in this excuse-making to ourselves. I was born and raised in the church. I've been in church pretty much all my life. I did have a period where I could look back and say I walked away from God, but I've known God all my life. So I look at this as not just an invitation toward the Jews, but it's an invitation to all believers. And so this is the issue that I see in this story. Not all who believe in Jesus or trust in God are going to find ourselves in eternity. I'm going to say this again because I want it to pierce your heart. Not everyone who says, I believe in Jesus, is going to find themselves in eternity. And I want you to hear the reason why. It's not because of God rejecting those who say, I believe in him. It's because not all who believe in Jesus give them their life. They don't dedicate their life to him. We want that feel good. We want that. And like we get scared of the idea of death and we decide that, hey, I will cling to whatever hope I can possibly cling to. Jesus, yeah, I believe in him. But then the rest of our lives, we display that we really don't care. We don't care about the sacrifice he made. We don't care that the fact that God has prepared us for a place for eternity because we are so ingrained in what we can touch, see, smell, and hear right now, today, that we don't think about spiritual matters. And often, we don't dedicate our lives to him, and that person might say, well, how do you know that? How do you know I'm here in church today? Church, I am telling you, statistically speaking, many of you, statistically speaking, won't see the kingdom of God. I don't want that to be in my church. I want us to understand that we are dedicating our life to something. But yet many of us fall into the excuses category of why we can't spend time with God. And our excuses, we display what we really prioritize. For instance, excuse spent in the time or spent in time in God's word. Oh, my day just got away from me. I got way too busy. I didn't have time to pray. There's too much yard work. There's sporting events going on. I had to go do a bunch of shopping. Christmas season is coming. I'm so busy with all the holiday planning and everything that I got going on that even excuses prevent us from coming to church too. I used to joke that when attendance was down in church, it was because of the weather. I'd look outside on a Sunday, and if there was low attendance, I'd say, oh, it's because it's raining outside. And then there'd be another Sunday, I'd look outside, and I'm like, oh, it's too nice a weather. That's what it is. The weather's too nice, can't come. Or, oh, there was an inch of snow on the ground. We're in Iowa. We can't drive in an inch of snow. You know, that we make excuses to the Lord, though, all the time on so many different things. Why we can't financially contribute to the things of God. Why we can't offer more time than we already do. And so what we don't realize is in our excuse making, in our dedication, we devalue the things of God. More so for the things that don't last. Whether it's working toward retirement. Working toward that next nice vehicle. Getting a bigger house. All those things that they seem important, but when it comes to the kingdom of God, it really doesn't matter a whole lot. And so the choice ultimately is ours. Do we prioritize our relationship with God above all other things, or are we more captivated by the worldly things? In Matthew 6, 19 through 21, it says, "Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there your desires, the desires of your heart will be also." Understand, these aren't physical things we're storing up in heaven. It's spiritual things, spiritual treasures. So what we can do, just to see where we fall into this category, do we come up with excuses? Are we serving God? Or are we more captivated by the things of the world? Ask yourself, God, search my heart. Are there things that I value more than you? And I guarantee, if you open your heart up to do that, God will reveal it to you. The next group I want to talk about, and guys, I'm going to be winding down here really quickly, is the servants. And the servants, there's a translation. It's in NIV, and I believe it's also in New King James. It says, "Compel them to come." So what the master charged the servant with was, go out, compel people to come, because I haven't filled every place setting at this dinner. I want you to compel people to come. So he is saying, go out with conviction and make yourself and your invitation so irresistible that they want to be a part of what's going on here. Church, I want you to know, to be compelling can only come down to you walking with a true, genuine heart. And when I look at this story, I see me as the servant. Yeah, I'm invited into the kingdom of God, but now that I follow the Lord, now that I am a disciple of Jesus Christ, now that I'm a believer, I also become a servant of God. So whether you want to call yourself a disciple, a believer, whatever, it's all synonymous with servant. And once you've discovered this truth of who you are in Christ, you've discovered the heart of God, you discovered his will, you discovered his desires, you genuinely want to serve him. I want you to know, Jesus didn't come for those who think they have it all together. He came for those who know they need him. And so Jesus, what he wants to do is he wants to send you out. He wants you to go out into the world and bring as many people as you can with you to this kingdom of God party. And so Luke chapter 19, verse 10, says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." And there are so many people in this world, it's like, boy, if I could just get them in church. I remember when I was a teenager, I went to church with a girl who thought that she's going to just win the hottest guys in her life for the Lord. And I'm like, well, be nice if it worked that way. I'm going to go find the supermodel. I'm going to have to poison them. God came to seek and save those which are lost. God came for those who know they need something, not those who think they have it all together. So you and I, we've found God. We've fallen for him. I have chosen to be his bondservant. And so I have chosen to walk in this relationship with God that is servanthood, because I know I can never repay what he's done for me. That is the essence of being a bondservant, is to embrace that without Christ, I am nothing. With him, I have everything. My life is sealed in eternity because of him. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 through 26, it says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. But if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul?'" And so I have chosen. I'm going to dedicate my life to God. I'm going to give all of myself to him. I'm going to offer it all. And I'm going to choose to walk in servitude. I'm going to choose to submit my life to him, because Guys, there is nothing greater than calling yourself a servant because you already know you're a part of that feast. You're a part of that banquet. He's calling you into servanthood. He's calling you to be his ambassador, his representation for the world. He wants to develop your heart and make it like his, mold into his image. And in order to do that, you need to read his word. You need to pray. You need to seek him. Spend time at the feet of the Lord. You know, we have a prayer service that's coming Thursday night. It starts at 7:00. We'd love for you to be there because what it is, the essence of prayer is to be in the presence of God. And that's where I want to be. Lastly, in this story, I want to talk about the fourth group of people in it. It's the least, the ones he accepts, the ones that the world tends to neglect. And God, what his message is that I'm extending my grace to everyone. And Jesus says in verse 21, invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Invite those who don't feel welcome, who feel less than, who feel like they don't deserve to be there. Those are the ones I want. It says that once he invited them, they came in, there was still room. And so he said, I'm urging you, go out everywhere. The highways and hedges, servants, go out there. They're all invited, anyone who wants to come. And so this story, what Jesus is saying is, this is God's grace without restriction to anyone who will receive it. And there's going to be people in your lives that they tune out the truth of who God is. Their life here on earth is good. They don't need that. Well, Jesus is saying, my invitation is for those who know this world doesn't offer them everything they need. And God is offering us so much more. And it's an open welcome into the kingdom of God for anyone who accepts the invitation. God's son is for those who choose him. God doesn't handpick who he wants. God's son is for those who choose him. And he's not satisfied with those who don't value him. And he won't tolerate excuses. He made that clear in this story. But church, I am telling you that salvation, when you choose to accept Christ, that is your RSVP. That's you saying, I want to be there. And this banquet, it is the celebration of God, of you being united with him in eternity. And daily, and this is really the crux of the message, is that I have to fight. I have to battle between my flesh and spirit all the time. Because even though I call myself a servant, there are days I serve myself. There are days that I value more what's going on down here on this earth, what I might be saving up for, future goals, all those things, that I miss God's true mission. And that's souls. And that's God recognizes, I created all mankind, and I want all of mankind to know that there is something greater awaiting. If you just turn your eyes toward Jesus, what you are going to find is God has set up something so great for you that there is nothing on this earth that is worth replacing eternity for. All those excuses I've ever made, they satisfied me at the time. I can think when I felt pressed by the Spirit to do something for God, and I'm just like, oh, I don't got the time. Or I want this to be my day. I've had those thoughts. But God's asking for complete surrender, a complete embrace of him and the things of his kingdom. And so he's calling us into the servanthood, to be dedicated to him and what he wants. And his desire is that everyone come to know him. So I'd just like you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Guys, I really condensed this message down because I saw that our service had a lot of different elements to it today, but the overall message today, and this is the one thing I don't want you to miss, God wants you. He doesn't want just part of you. He doesn't want just a moment on a Sunday morning. He wants your whole life. And I believe that you have come here because you believe in God. And you might still be on your path to finding Christ. But you're here because you know that there's something greater out there. And God is urging you, imploring you, give me all of you. Believe in my Son, who I've sent for you, so that you might be united with God in eternity. And this is something that it's not, we need to just be halfway in, one foot out. When we give our lives over to God, we give all of ourselves. And so if you're here today and you're like, man, I'm on the fence a lot. I'm not following God to the full, to the way I should, but I need to dedicate myself to Him. And if that's you and you just want to surrender in complete dedication to the Lord, would you just look at me? Praise God. Praise God. You know what? God cares about each and every one of you. He does. And when you seek Him and when you open your heart up to Him, He speaks, and He'll show you that you are His created being. You've been fearfully and wonderfully made in His image, and it really doesn't matter how you entered into this life. Know that God had a purpose in you being here. Know that God is for you. And when you surrender your life unto Him, He's gonna give you so much to see spiritually. You're going to long for the things of eternity and not the things of this world. And so my encouragement to you today is just open yourself up to the Spirit of God and ask God for you to see the value in the things of eternity versus the things of this earth. And He's going to give you so much to see. That as you go about this life, God's going to show you where maybe you place a little bit more value in the things of this earth than the things of eternity. And he's going to ask you to give those things up for Him. And when you do, He's going to show you the whole lot more that He can do through you because of your dedication to the things of the kingdom of God. He's going to give you a voice to speak. He's going to connect you with people who need to hear the truth of Jesus Christ. He's going to use you. But it starts with one small step. God, I want to be all yours. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for each and every person that has come here today. Lord, and those who looked up and said, God, I want to be fully dedicated, fully surrendered to you. God, we just embrace you sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. Lord, to be raised to new life, to be sitting at your right hand, and God, mediate on our behalf, Lord. And God, it's because of that blood that was shed that we have right to go to you. And so, Lord, for all those that are saying, man, I need to be all the way in, God, we plead the blood of Jesus Christ over our life again. God, we recognize that we're sinners, God. We recognize that we fail. We fall short. But God, I pray that we be cleansed by the blood of your Son, renewed by the washing of your word, that as we read your word, God, it will be that daily purification that, Lord, we can continue to make steps to get closer and closer to you. God, give us passion and a heart for the things that you're passionate for. Let us see what you're doing in the spiritual realm, God, so that we aren't so distracted by the things that don't last here on this earth that sometimes we value more. God, more importantly, let us connect with your heart each and every day. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.